I think Elaine went outside, but that was an amazing song, How Great Thou Art, with those hymns that hangs on her heart. But, and I will tell her this when I see her. You're looking at a miracle of God, this lady standing up there singing. Penny and I ran into her a couple years ago. You know, she'd been away from the church, and I was over there in one of the end marks, and she came out, and she started weeping. She said, you know, I missed the church so much. And now it's to see her back. I mean, that is a grace. That is a miracle. I mean, that's what confession does. That's what forgiveness does. That's what Jesus does. I listened to a song this morning called In the Basement. You ever heard that song? You Google it sometime. What God does in the basement. It has to do with what God does in the, not necessarily in the pews of the church, but in your life. I am convinced that God does much more in unseen ways than he does in what we can see and look at, but may the Lord bless us. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms 51. As we continue the messages on confession, I realize that this message that got on my heart about confession is not doing one thing to improve my popularity with you, make you like me any better, probably on the contrary. But if it will increase your love for the Lord, if it will improve your relationship with God, it's worth it. So I guarantee you that is a struggle that lots of people have. They don't want to admit. A lot of people need confessing their sin and they don't even know it. They don't even know that's what they need. And they're burdened down, bogged down. They feel useless. It's one thing to believe in the message of forgiveness. I think we all do that. But it's a whole nother deal to live in the reality of forgiveness. And I just don't think we all do that like we should. And I pray that God would help us. And I pray that these messages, first of all, glorify him. Because after all, Jesus came to die for sinners. But also that it encourages you, his people. I don't think that preaching is necessarily something you need to be instructed in. I know most of you, I believe, are pretty good Bible students. But I believe preaching has a lot to do with remembering, reminding you and me of what God has done for us and what we're to do about it. And so I pray God would help us. Right here, I'm going to read 12 verses from Psalm 51. It's written by a man that God describes as after his own heart. He is a man that is a figure of Jesus Christ, but he is a man. He wrote this with his heart pounding. I hope you can detect that. He is serious about his relationship with God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free gift, or free spirit, which is a gift. I want to talk to you this morning about cleansing confession. And here this is no doubt about it. David is concerned about his diary of his life, things he's done that he knows are wrong. Namely, he's dealing with his committing adultery with Bathsheba. He's dealing with the having her husband Uriah murdered to try to cover it up. That's what sin does. The thing to do with sin is to get rid of it. If you leave it, it's going to get even more rotten in your life. Now, most Bible commentators say that it's at least a year before this, or rather this psalm written by David was a year or so after, at least a year after his sin with Bathsheba. And you remember Nathan came to David, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, and he gives him this little parable about a man that had one ewe lamb, and this man that had a lots of stuff came on and said, I'm going to get your lamb because that's what I want. And he took it and he tells the story to David, and David gets mad about it and said, man, that man ought to pay fourfold. And then Nathan said to him these sorting, piercing words, thou art the man. David, you're the one that did this. Which David acknowledged his sin. And Nathan acknowledged his being forgiven. But it seemingly didn't have it. It just kind of went over his head. But it was a long drawn out. There are several psalms written by David that expose his heart. When he's dealing in this period of time after committing that sin and having to deal with the burden of it and trying to ignore it. What we do in our world today is cover it up with drugs and religion and food and pleasures and things. We stay busy. But the time will come when God has seen to it that He will bring us to face our sins. You see, you cannot get around the cross, not if you're a believer. There's a saying and even a proverb that says, be sure your sins will find you out. So as we think about this message of confession, I think about four things I want to try to say. One is that cleansing confession is shocking. I mean, it's shocking. I mean, today, in our world today, somebody that will confess that they have sinned. I mean, even in the churches, will a real sinner stand up among the so-called holy? Oh, no. I mean, we say now we're sinners with kind of a little grin. It's an inside joke. And that's the saddest part of it all, that we don't really realize where we are with God. And really the problem is we don't love God like we ought to. See, confession is about loving God. You know, I used to say, and I've said this before, and I guess it has some truth, grief is the price you pay for love. No, confession is the price you pay for love. I've come up, that is more prominent to me now after studying this than ever before. If we love God more, One thing would happen, we wouldn't sin near as much as we do, and secondly, we'd be ready to confess. Now, I'm not saying, and hopefully nobody in this room has ever had to deal with a big sin like this. No, all sins are big. Don't get me wrong. The wages of sin is death. But here, this is a mighty one. Now, some of us have. I have. But I trust most of you guys are raised in a pretty good home. You got good things about your life. You got good character. You've never done anything all that bad, probably. But you may know somebody that has. Oh, your children might. You don't know. You don't. So we better be mindful of what happens, because I'm going to tell you what, this is a matter of life and death. We got to have somewhere to go with this sin. But because things do happen, it's shocking to know that we can do these things to the God that loves us like He does. Now, it could be just an in-relationship. Any relationship needs a lot of forgiveness. You know, I was thinking this the other day, one night this week. I've been trying to help my wife, because I love her. And sometimes she has to get up during the night, and the other night her legs were cramping, and, about 11, 12, I got up, and I get up. She'll tap me on my hand. I got up and I kind of mumbled something kind of gruff. And I get up and say, Penny, I said, you know what? Neither one of us will get much sleep. And she said, Randy, I can't help it. So she got back to bed and I lay down beside her. I couldn't go back to sleep. You know why? Because I couldn't wait till the next time she got me up so I could confess to her that I didn't really mean it like that. As many times she needed to get up, as many times I want to get up. But I'm just saying, it just goes like that. I mean, you need to deal with these things in your life. That's a relationship. Really, confession is about honesty. What we need to do is quit lying to God. I mean, people now lie. They don't even know they lie. I mean, I went to a clergy police thing. Brother John Allen Smith signed me up for a few years ago here in state for police department. This guy that does all the interviews. These guys come in for criminal things. He said, man, people lie. He said, so what I got to do is, I tell everybody, the first one I interview, I tell them the first thing to do, go ahead and tell me a lie. I mean, let's get it over with. I mean, that's how we got to. I mean, the thing about David is honest. I mean, it's hard to be honest. We need to realize that we need to come to grips that if you're going to live, don't waste it in your life trying to cover things up. Just bring them all out to God. That's what the cross is for. It's shocking. You know, I remember a few years ago, the brotherhood asked me to do a devotional, which I tried to do, and I did it on love, loving our wives. And so I told the brothers there, I said, look, I'm going to do this to you. I tell you, I don't tell my wife near much, as much as I should, I love her. I just don't say the words. Doesn't mean I love her, don't love her, I just don't say the words. So I said to the guys, I said, now let's go home and let's tell our wives, I'm going to do this. I want you to do it. I challenge you to do it. Tell your wife you love her in words. So I go home and I walk in the room and Penny's there in the kitchen and she's at the table and she has the computer out. She's doing something. So I just walk up to her. I said, Penny, I just want you to know I love you. And I just smacked her a little bit on the cheek. And she looked up to me and she said, Randy, what have you done? I mean, that's how shocking confession is. I mean, we just assume that, but the things about God is that we have to get pure with God. But see, God is big on cleanliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. I mean, he had clean animals going to the ark. You need seven of those, just two of the unclean, but seven, because they're going to use them for sacrifices. You're going to present your body a living sacrifice, that what you're supposed to be here? How clean are you living your life? Now don't say, well, you know, preacher, I don't want to be too churchy. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, our righteousness is at filthy rags. What we need to be concerned about is our filthiness in our minds and our things that we allow in our lives and things that have hindered us from being the kind of men and women that God has called us to be. It's shocking. See, I have laid on the backside of my property. I have been there on midnight. I've laid prostrate on the ground and prayed to God. Just like David. I have done this. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just saying this is what God can do. But I'm going to tell you something else, my friends. You can get up and you can be forgiven. And you can be cleansed. And you can feel the power of God in ways that are, well, it's a miracle. That's what it is. And it comes from Jesus. And what a blessing that is and what a glory that is. What about you? I think about, how do we say, what am I doing? Not doing. Are we loving God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, what about the seven deadly sins? How do you feel about them? Lust and pride and anger? Gluttony? What about the Ten Commandments? How you do on the Ten Commandments? You're not like the rich young ruler who thought he kept them all, did you? Are you? What that man should have said, Lord, I've broken them all. Have mercy upon me. It's shocking. I'll tell you what else this is. This is shocking to see David. Now, here's David who stood and defied Goliath and fought this giant depending on God who he delivered. He was acknowledged, had delivered from the lion and the bear and the wilderness, keeping the sheep. And he goes against Goliath because he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the living God? And yet, he sits up on the top of his palace and sees a beautiful woman taking a bath while his men are out fighting, and David says, I want that woman. And he gets her. She's going to have a baby. He don't know what to do about it. So I'm going to kill her husband. That's what I'm going to do. Put him on the front lines. Same thing. See, God caught his hand at it. See, don't ever think you're going to get away from anything with God. See, David now comes, it's shocking that this man that's called a man after man's own heart can do this. It's shocking. Sin is shocking. But I'll tell you something even more shocking. Confessing sin is shocking. But it's crucial that we confess. You ever tried driving your car or truck with the brakes on? That's how living with unconfessed sin is. I mean, you might move a little bit, but it's going to be rough, man. It's going to be rough. Secondly, this psalm says, or confession, my second point, confession not only a shocking, cleansing thing, but cleansing confession says something about sin. David classifies it in three ways, which he writes, it's a transgression of God's law. It's iniquity. He says, it's my nature. It's my fallen nature. I was a sinner in my mother's womb, and guess what? We were too. We were sinners before we were ever born. David also acknowledged that he needed washing from this sin. He called it a transgression. But also, we get to understand that sin is against God. See, David didn't say, well, I'm sorry about this, Bathsheba. I'm sorry about what happened to Uriah. He said, I'm sinning against you, God. See, David was not making up some excuse. He was taking responsibility. What he was saying is, I made this choice. It was a wrong choice. God, have mercy upon me. I mean, he can't go back. You can't go back and undo things. But God can. So he's responsible. See, sin these days, again, is taken so lightly. I know, you know, preachers are supposed to say that. I mean, people now relate sin to a milkshake. Man, that's sinful, so good. Some of you teachers can correct me on this, but I understand now at school, I mean, you don't, some child does something wrong, you don't say, please stop that. You say, why are you doing that? How does that make you feel? I mean, now we deal with discipline on a relational. I mean, let's try to work this out, process it. I got my first whipping when I was in the second grade. Siri, you had the same teacher I did. Miss Selma Lanier, right? Well, she would take my hand, and I got 10 licks with a ruler on the palm of my hand for talking in class. And she didn't say, Randy, why did you do that? She just said, Randy, you stay after class. She didn't say, well, how does that make you feel? I got my last paddling when I was a sophomore in high school. Dwight Moore. He gets me from my class, he's bringing me down there. He said, Randy, I don't know how you feel about this, but he said, what he said was, you grabbed the bottom of that chair. I still remember it. You see, sin is not about surroundings. Sin is what's in your heart. That's why God has to change our heart. Sin also, confession, removes stains. You know, sin will stain you. It's called guilt. I want you to know something. Guilt is heavy. You can't remove guilt except by the blood of Christ. Now, the thing about sin will drive you to God if you're a child of God. You be thankful that you have been burdened to confess your sins, if you have. Now, I want to tell you something that you're probably not going to like. I think it's close enough, far enough from lunch, not mess that up. You want to get out of a mess? You confess. Don't try to wiggle out, slip and slide, democratize God or politicize your faith. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had some kind of bug, I guess, virus or something. I never had this thing before like this. It's coming flu, you know, A, B, or C, or D. I don't know which one it was. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I started feeling nauseous. I didn't like that because I want to help Penny. I got to try to preach. Man, last thing I know, dude, get sick. So I'm laying there and I'm thinking, man, this thing's coming. I'm thinking this stuff's coming up. You ever felt that way? You ever knew you were going to throw up? And you have to wait? I mean, I'm ready to get it over. I always feel better after I do it. That's how confession is. I'm not saying you look forward to it. It's hard to do, but I'm kind of when it comes. There's something in there that ought not to be. There's something in there that's got a bad mix with your life. And your soul. That's why confession is good for the soul. So, man, I'm laying there 2 or 3 hours, 5 o'clock in the morning. About 5:30, it went away. I never had anything like it before in my life. I was almost disappointed. You take stains. Some of you ladies know, you get stains on some of your clothes. I don't care if it's the finest dress you got. You ain't going to wear it. I'm telling you what Jesus does. He removes the stains. I mean, that's why David said, take this stain away in my life. That's what sin does. It puts a blot in your life. And to live in the reality of it is trusting in the blood of Christ is the only element that can take away your stains of your sins and mine. All of them. Then lastly, the psalm, cleansing confession, says a lot about our Savior. He tells those lepers, he cleansed all 10 of them. Just one come back. That thief on the cross, who acknowledged him that he'd done nothing wrong, he said, you're going to be with me in paradise. How in the world is he going to get there? He's a sinner. How is he going to get there? Jesus is going to take him there. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. He says he's faithful and just. That's what 1 John 1 says, that he's faithful and just when we confess our sins to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness. He will do it. And here's where we struggle. Because I guarantee you, if you're walking with God or trying to, you're going to see your stains and you're going to see your sins more than you've ever seen them before. And you're going to get discouraged. And the devil will try to talk you out of even thinking you're a Christian. You hear me? I guarantee you, there's multiplied Christians don't want to come to church because they don't think they're good enough. Where all the time, really the gospel is that Christ has cleansed us from all sin. See, the devil is an accuser. God says, I'm going to make you useful. Just go ahead. Don't worry about your sin. I got the sin. You just do a service. Jesus tells his disciples, what you need to do is wash one another's feet. You're already all clean except Judas, John 13. Well, it says, you do what I say do, and you're going to have joy. And that's what confession does. It brings the joy. That's what David said. That's what kind of Savior we have. Okay? We're going to stand and sing a song. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up here and make a profound statement of your confession, if you want. And if you don't come, there's nothing wrong with you. If you do, there's nothing wrong with you either. But I guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking in your heart about confessing some sin, and that's what he shows you, and you don't deal with it, nothing ever is going to be right with you. Because the only one can make it right. Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give him rest. All I'm giving you is an opportunity to profoundly make a statement. Oh God, I need you. I don't want to live in sin. I want to be clean. I want the joy that only you can give me restored. I told Sister Joanne a couple weeks ago when I started this, one service, one evening service, I don't know who was preaching during our revival. Brother Howard Cox came up here and he kneeled in this very chair. Shocking. Probably the most holy man I've ever known. And I was standing close enough to him and I heard him begging God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Some of these children here have never seen somebody confess their sin. And that's sad. May the Lord bless us. You let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't let some preacher manipulate you to do anything. Please, don't. But do not deny the Holy Spirit, because he's beckoning you. Rejoice in the great salvation of the Lord. You got a song you want us to sing? Or We don't have to sing that. You can sing something else. Don't matter to me. Whatever you do.